Welcome to the Post-Purchase Pro Podcast.
This is the only podcast that dives deep into post-purchase marketing to help Amazon sellers increase sales, ranking, reviews, and profits. It's everything that happens after the initial sale that makes a difference. We call this the back end. Welcome back to another episode of the Post-Purchase Podcast. My name is Sean Hauer, one of your co-hosts, along with Seth Stevens here. Seth, you skipped out on the last call for me. I kind of missed you, but I did a great job without you, man. Welcome.
Sean, I was just talking to a gentleman at SellerCon this past week, and it was amazing. He said, I've listened to every single one of your podcasts. I absolutely love them. I feel like I know you guys. So podcasting is definitely a great way to share a message, to connect with people, and to deliver value. So I am in love with podcasts, Sean.
Hey,
you know, I'm a good listener myself.
Yeah. You're a podcast listener. I know. You turned me on to using podcasts and audiobooks. I still like to meet and greet people and shake babies and kiss hands. But our guest today is an inbound marketing expert. So we're going to talk to her briefly about some marketing exercises. And I'm anxious to get Sarah's take on podcasting as well. So why don't you just introduce her and we'll get started.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and bring on our special guest, Sarah. It's so exciting to have you today from Tiny Marketing. So Sarah, I know you guys think about marketing. We're marketing nerds as well. We love to dig in and figure out, like, what is it that that makes people take action in this world, and how can you really connect with somebody? So we're super excited.
You speak for yourself. I'm not a marketing nerd. I'm like Sarah. I'm a marketing expert.
Okay. Sarah, well, welcome to the Post-Purchase Podcast.
Thank you for having me here.
So Sarah, why don't you start us at the beginning? Give us, you know, maybe the 30-second elevator story of your life. How did you become Sarah at Tiny Marketing?
Yeah, so I've always been in marketing. I have loved storytelling from being a wee baby, and and marketing is basically that. You're telling a story and you're guiding your customers through a journey to be able to solve their problems. So that's the reason I focus on inbound marketing, is because it's all about educating your people and helping them find solutions. And I just love it.
So how do you feel, Sarah, then, since we're on the subject, how do you feel about using podcasts to educate your audience and sell before selling?
I'm so glad you asked that. I have a podcast too, The Tiny Marketing Show. And it is one of the best ways that I have found to connect with my audience, because it pulls them really, if with the right podcast strategy, you're getting them at the awareness stage and you're moving them down the funnel to, I get customers regularly from my podcast. So it's a full funnel strategy if you're doing it right. I love it.
So the podcast interview for you is top of the funnel traffic?
Yeah. So awareness stage, podcast guesting is a great way to expand your audience and get in front of people who could potentially need your solutions. And then, you know, using the right keywords in your podcast is another great way to get people to discover that you exist in the first place.
We're going to get some advice on that from Tiny Marketing. So, Sarah, tell us the history of Tiny Marketing and why you decided to create your company.
So I was a one-person marketing department for a 7-company group, and it was really overwhelming. It was 7-company presidents breathing down my neck, asking me why their goals weren't met. And I was like, oh, no, what do I do? I felt like pushed into a corner because I did not have a team and I didn't have a budget either. I had to figure it out. So I built Tiny Marketing around the framework I created to make it work for that company. And I was able to use that framework to get them to their highest grossing year in a 60-year history.
Wow.
And I've just used that same framework with all of my clients to help them. You know, they don't have marketing departments, and this is a way to focus in on that ideal customer and keep it super streamlined.
So you were able to eclipse the results of 60-year history in a company, and it was completely attributed to the marketing that you put together?
It was about 60% attribution to marketing.
Holy smoke. So
What did you do? What was the 20% that created the 80% in effectiveness in your marketing for our listeners?
Yeah. So actually, I'm so glad that you used the 20-80 rule, because that's the marketing plan that I
because
use.
You're 20 and I'm 80, right?
It's the 20-80 rule. So you look at your top 20% of your customers and you build an avatar around them, and you build a customer journey around them. And then 80% of your marketing is that, looking at that journey and creating a workflow, just doing that. You don't have to do all the things. You just have to do those things that work for that top 20%.
Seth, I'm sorry. I forgot. I just did an episode without you. So let me just give you a little bit of platform here. But my mind is going crazy with questions. Go for it.
I know. So Sarah, why the name Tiny Marketing? So can you give us a little background into the tiny in tiny marketing?
Yeah. So it came from this idea that you can have a big impact with a tiny team. And this phrase just kept replaying in my mind. And then I was like, well, shit, that's my that's my name.
Pick the explicit box on this episode, mate.
So Sarah, this is amazing. So a tiny team with a tiny amount of marketing, if it's the right marketing, that right 20% can make a big difference. Now, let me set the stage for our audience. Our audience is predominantly Amazon sellers who are trying to grow their physical products brands, but it's also Amazon service providers who are trying to help Amazon sellers along their journey. So thinking about it from that context, what are like the few levers that you would pull from day one if you're trying to help somebody grow their brand online?
Yeah, for that particular audience, making sure that you're getting those good keywords in there and driving people to it. So for that, for the sellers, I would focus primarily on ads and keyword optimization to be able
What type of ads, Sarah?
I have found really great results from Meta ads. But I'm doing Google ads for one of my clients right now, and I'm kind of blown away. I haven't done them in a few years and I kind of thought they were out, but they wanted to try them out and it's doing well.
Amazing. Wow. Okay. So what about the service provider side? What would you say to the service provider?
Yeah. So service providers is who I work primarily with. And it's because I really value the fact that you're selling your expertise and you have to build that know, like, trust factor. So I think content marketing works really, really well for service providers because they need to prove themselves and get people through that sales funnel through their expertise. So podcasting, blogging, videos, tutorial videos are really great for like top of funnel content. Those would do well for them.
I love how you call it education-based marketing, because this is a concept that I've been using for years. And it's funny that, you know, because we are a service provider, we're an agency providing services to e-com sellers. So recently, you'll kind of get a kick out of this. Recently, I was at the SellerCon in Austin last week, had a presentation over there. They only gave me 25 minutes for a 90-minute presentation, but it was definitely worthwhile. So I'm hanging out after my presentation and I'm talking to all the attendees. And did you happen to be there?
Seth or me?
You.
I was not.
I know Seth was there. Okay. So a guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, I want to talk to you." I was on the phone or something. I said, don't worry. No problem. I'm 6'6". He was like 5'2". And he comes up and goes, "I need to talk to you right now." And I said, "Okay. Let me finish my phone call." And I hang up and the guy says, "I want to tell you that the leads that you got from your partner," I won't mention their name, they were a sponsor at the event, he said, "you need to treat those a little better," as he's looking up at me. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "Because we're not beginners. You know, we're sophisticated sellers. We've been around for a while. It took that partner," and this guy was like yelling at me. He said, "It took that partner like 9 months just to get me on a phone call and another 6 months to convert me to a client." And I said, "Okay, and you're telling me this, why?" He says, "Because you need to approach leads differently. You know, your approach to marketing, I'm getting your emails, I'm getting your voice broadcasts, I'm getting text messaging, you're showing up on my television now. That's not the way to run that business." And so I sat back and I listened and I said, "You know what? What you're saying, sir," I think his name was Steve. Great. I mean, we're friends now, you know, end of the story. But I said, "Really valid points that you're making here, Steve. And I'd love to have this conversation with you at a more appropriate time. But you have to understand, you identify with maybe 1 or 2% of my entire audience. So if I design everything around making you happy, I wouldn't be in business today. You know, and after we talked about it for a while, he kind of understood what I was saying. I was like, we have to do our marketing. We have to apply marketing in a way that we know works for us, because my goal is not to make Steve happy. My goal is to increase our customer base. Yeah. And he goes, you know what? I didn't think about it that way. He goes, I'm just thinking about this from one side. He said, you're really irritating the way that you're marketing. And so basically we ended up with a solution. We're going to get on the phone and he's going to consult with me and tell me about the best way to approach his tiny little segment that does not include the 20% that moves the needle for us. So, you know, everyone approaches this differently. And when it comes to marketing, I've been doing this my entire adult life, you know, from peddling stuff door to door to what we're doing today. And every single touch point that we have, every single piece of content that we create gets tracked separately. And guys like Steve, bless his heart, wonderful human being. I can't wait to hang out with him and buy him dinner. But he doesn't understand that if we can't measure this, then we can't measure it. I mean, if we can't measure it, we can't manage it. Sorry, I'm trying to look in the camera, so it looks like I'm talking to you. But actually, you're down here. And I was trying to explain to him that we measure every single thing that we do so that we can manage, make it better, and optimize. And once we got through that, he really understood what I was talking about. So how would you approach that scenario when you're, you know, a quasi public figure in a tiny circle and someone says, hey, your marketing stinks, because I've heard it before.
So are they saying then that they are too far ahead? They're too educated for your marketing. Is that what they're saying, or that you're marketing too much?
They're turned off because I'm irritating them with all these multiple touch points. My goal is to bring them into my funnel, obviously. You know, his goal is to put a wall between him and I. And, you know, it's one thing if I'm sitting in an office at an arm's length through the internet, but when I'm out there at these events, I get a lot of praises and a lot of people high five, pat on the back and say, man, you guys are the most prolific marketers I've ever seen in the space. But every now and again, someone says, if you leave me a voicemail one more time, I'm going to.
Well, if you start seeing a theme, I can understand the idea of, you know, taking that advice. I would just track it. Are you seeing a theme that people are regularly irritated with the voice messages? Then I'd cut that. Otherwise, I'm just going to do me and I'm going to continue doing what's working. Because if I'm repelling 1% of my audience, then I'm repelling you. You're not going to like me either when we're working together. So that's fine. Goodbye.
I love it, Sarah. So the more polarizing that I am, and I pretty much am, the better off we are. So I'm going to tell this guy next time we have dinner together, I'm going to say, listen, Sarah Knoll told me that I'm going to do me. You have to adapt. How about that?
It's not them about them adapting. It's about saying goodbye to people that aren't a good fit. If you're a service provider and I'm you're like, repelling.
Just unsubscribe, buddy. Just text back, stop. Unsubscribe.
You don't need their dollars. That's fine.
Email. Exactly. And, you know, I had a lot of fun with it, actually. I'm a really good people person one-on-one. But when I'm addressing an audience, I turn off like probably 10% of the people just because I'm too salesy. They say, you're too salesy. You sound like a used car salesman, you know, so that's a lot of fun. But enough about me. Let's talk about Sarah. Let's talk about SarahKnollBlock.com. What is this? This is your website?
Yeah, I think you're looking at my website.
This is how, like, if I'm a service provider and I'm looking to do some more big marketing with a tiny team, this is where I engage with you?
Yeah, you can find me right there.
Okay.
All my resources.
So let's leave that up for a while you talk about a recent case study. Can you talk about a win, you know, without giving specifics about your client, obviously, but talk about like a before and after. Here's what was happening. Here's what I did. Here's what's happening now.
Yeah. So I was working with a facility services company and they came to me with the goal of increasing their search traffic. They wanted more people finding them organically because they were tired of spending money on ads. Totally understandable. Once you turn those ads off, that traffic turns off too.
So true.
So I started working with them, and I worked with them. It took about 6 months, I would say, for them to get the results. But what I did was I created a hub and spoke model for them to be able to pull in that search traffic with the right customers, that top 20% of customers. And in the end, they ended up getting about 2.6 million in marketing attributed sales from that, from the leads that they brought in. And it was organic search and then people moving on to book a call.
Oh, nice. And this was for a service facility, you said?
Facility services company. So
facility services.
Yeah, okay. They did facility services, like maintaining the building for commercial facilities.
Fair enough. Retail. Okay. So, Seth, let me just ask another question here. Sorry, I'm hogging the mic here, but Sarah,
you're on a roll.
How do you guide businesses in identifying effective marketing strategies with limited resources?
Yeah, that's my specialty because I never have resources in any company I've ever worked with.
Okay.
So I start by building out that initial messaging, that 80-20 marketing plan. Actually, let's reverse back in time. Before that, I like working on a strategic story. So that's the messaging and content strategy. And those really go hand in hand. And I feel like a lot of times, no, always, they're separated, but you need to know who that audience is that you're trying to sell to, what their pain points are, and how you do that, how you solve it uniquely. So messaging and then content strategy, how you reach your customer at each stage of the funnel. Then move on to an 80-20 marketing plan so you know exactly what you need to do. It's basic roadmap. And then we build out your system so you can do it when you don't have a team. So streamlining it, systemizing it, adding in automation and AI where you can, and outsourcing anything that doesn't fit in those buckets. And then you kind of have it ready to go and it becomes a system for you. And in the end, you end up building out a content funnel, moving people from awareness down to those customer calls. Boom.
So, Sarah, this seems really like right in our wheelhouse. Like, we understand this, but I don't know that our audience understands this as well. So maybe you can break it down. So you're building a funnel, meaning at the top of the funnel, it's the widest reach. You know, you're creating content to attract people that are interested in your, you know, area, your niche, right? And then you're bringing them closer and closer to your brand. And then at the end of the day, they're transacting with you, right? So what does like each step of this look like typically? In terms of content that they would be putting out there, where are they putting it? What type of content in it? And then how do they move through the funnel all the way to purchase?
All right. Let's talk about the funnel, the content funnel. And then I'll just give you an example of what that can look like. So at the awareness stage, this is people, you're on Tinder and people are swiping left and right. People are just transactionally becoming aware that you exist. That's where that is. And then, so they have a problem and they become aware that you exist. And then in the next phase, consideration, they start to understand what solutions that might solve their problem is. So they move down to consideration and they start creating a shortlist. These are the potential brands that could help me solve this problem. So now you're dating, but you're also dating some other people. And then you're not committed. I love the analogy.
Keep it up.
And then you move down to decision. That's the bottom of the funnel. And this is when they're like, okay, I got to commit. I have to decide on one company. And that's where that happens. So now you're in a monogamous relationship. Congratulations. Now, let's look at what that looks like with like real life examples. So
Must work because I see you're wearing a wedding ring. So this must work.
Yeah, he became aware I existed. And then here we are 20 years later.
Okay.
So what does this look like in real life? At the awareness stage, people have to discover you. So guesting on other podcasts, we'll use podcasts as this whole example right now. And then we'll do that as awareness. You're borrowing other people's audiences and moving them to your audience. So some ways you can do this is by offering a landing page that's just for that specific podcast you're guesting on, and offering a lead magnet or giving 100% promo code to that audience. So then you can transition them to also becoming your audience. Now we're moving down to consideration, and this is mid funnel. So people need to start to trust you and even consider you as a possible solution. So this is a good point where you want your own podcast, because this is where you're sharing your expertise and you can share some case studies on how you solve this problem for your audience. And you start to show them what their life can look like once this problem is solved and how you solve it. So that would be mid-funnel consideration. And then at bottom of funnel, you can have ads within your own podcast that are leading to some sort of lead magnet, like a masterclass, something that will get them on your email list, because that's where the magic happens and that's when you sell. So that's what the funnel would look like.
Amazing. So Sean, I know that you are, a funnel lover, right? You always talk about funnels and what
I was talking about funnels before it was popular.
Yeah, but we didn't even know the term funnel when you conjured it up in the late 50s?
Thanks, Seth.
So Sarah, what you just described there is very similar to what we do in our business, but you're able to do it on behalf of other businesses, right? So what does this look like for you? Who is the perfect client for you? Who do you like to work with?
I love working with B2B service businesses because I like to make their expertise shine. That's my favorite.
It's your favorite. Any B2B service.
B2B services. That's who I work with. So you heard I was working with facility services, but I've also worked with like business consultants.
Okay, Sarah. So I heard that through the grapevine, you had a special offer for our listeners or watchers of the program that you may be able to do something extraordinary for them. Do you care to explain that? I gave you a hint there.
Oh, we're sharing the business book. Okay. Yeah, so I will give you the expert service business book. And this is actually how I built my business before I left my company. So I was just side gigging, but for 6 months before I decided to take that leap and start my business, I used this strategy in this book. And I was able to nail down six figures in contracts for the year because I wanted to match my salary. That was my goal before I left. So this is the roadmap.
So for those listening, not watching, the URL to grab Sarah's book is www.sarahnoelblock.com/ebook. Uh-oh, somebody switched it on me. /ebook-expert-business. And May, let's be sure to get those put into the show notes so those watching or listening on the podcast platform can see that. Those of you watching the live stream, you can see the URL on the screen now. And then if you want to reach out to Sarah, it's simply hello@sarahnoelblock.com. And then so your URL would also be www.sarahnoelblock.com. Man, that's a lot of words. So, Sarah, thank you for that special offer and sharing your book with our audience. Let's ask a couple of quick, fun questions. Besides the expert service business, what is your all-time favorite business book?
Story Brand.
Story Brand. Okay.
Have you guys read it?
I think I've read that one. No, I don't think so.
Oh, you guys will like it.
Story Brand. Okay, so what's the Cliff's Notes on it? What's Story Brand all about?
It is, well, like at the beginning of this conversation, I was telling you about the importance of storytelling and marketing. It's basically how you take a story arc of a fiction book and how you create a brand story around it, making your character, like your customer is the main character and you are the guide on that journey.
I love that. Story Brand.
That is really good.
So who's the author? Do you remember?
Donald Miller.
Donald Miller, story brand. Sounds good, Seth.
All right. So, Sarah, we have one other fun question. In the last year or so, have you purchased anything that it was a splurge, or some people might consider it a splurge, but you don't regret spending the money on it?
It's almost always tech for me. God, I'm obsessed.
Yeah, what is it?
Let's see. I would say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to say it was a ton of travel. Instead of the tech, I'll talk about all the travel. Last year, we visited a bunch of national parks, and it was well worth it.
Where did you go? Did you do Yellowstone, Glacier, Yosemite?
We did Yellowstone. We did Rocky Mountains. We did Smoky Mountains. It was a good time.
Wow. Coast to coast.
Nice.
That's awesome. I love travel. It's the gift that keeps on giving. So to date, I've been to 57 different countries, lived in a few of them for a while.
Nice.
And looking to hit 100 before I get as old as Seth. So I love travel. My kids love travel. And we're always bumping heads all the time. Seth said, hey, can you do this thing for me tomorrow? I'm like, driving to Disney. And I'm like, that's like a 15-hour drive. Have you ever heard of an airplane?
You're driving? You didn't mention that in the pre-call.
Well, I have two young children, so they have a lot of equipment.
Yeah. So I told him, I said, hey, just for fun, Seth, ship all your crap next time and then fly in there and see how that works. But
I went to Disney when I had little kids. And we rented all of our equipment there.
Yeah, Ashley wouldn't go for that. She's like super mom. Yep. That's fun. So, all right, travel. There you have it. Any last words of advice before we cut this off and send out the audio production?
Yeah, stop overcomplicating everything. It doesn't need to be that complicated. You can have a streamlined system and it will work really well. And you won't
just
get
because
out.
It's tiny doesn't mean you have tiny results, right? So
right, exactly.
Work with a tiny team, get giant results. I love it, and I appreciate you hanging out with us today on the Post Purchase Podcast and sharing your book, Sarah. I just want to say again, this is Sarah Noel Block, inbound marketing expert. Thank you so much. I'm sure we'll see you on a
thank you, Sarah.
Call or an event.
Thanks for having me.